Pakistan is witnessing a rampant increase in polio cases, with 8 cases reported in the country just yesterday. Northern Pakistan, bordering Afghanistan, has seen a resurgence in the cases of polio over the last week, sparking public health concerns over the spread of this infectious viral disease. Misbah Ansari asked Associate Professor Miru Scheel from the University of Sydney, how do cases of polio resurface after years of having achieved virtual eradication?
So polio obviously is a complex disease. It has 3 types of strains or types, as we call it, one of which has been eradicated, other one has been eliminated. And while most parts of the world have achieved elimination of polio, Pakistan and Afghanistan are the only 2 countries in the world which still have endemic circulation of polio. What happens is when you have a certain amount of virus circulating in the community, which is when it's endemic, and if you have low vaccination rates, so if there's pockets of low vaccination, then the virus can obviously dominate and still infect people. So that's likely what's happening in some of these contexts. Of course, in the context of COVID, this has all become more complex because we've had greater disruption of routine immunization. So where there were gaps in immunization programs of polio vaccination, that's dropped even more in many settings. And that's leading to these big vaccine gaps that can allow for the virus to spread and affect people.
So what sort of stigma surrounds vaccination among South Asian communities?
Yeah, look, it's not a general thing. I don't think we can talk about it in general terms. In certain contexts, in settings like Pakistan and Afghanistan, polio vaccination has been particularly challenging over the last couple of decades for multiple reasons, including political instability, difficult access areas. So, you know, they have a lot of small villages and remote settings, mountainous terrains, which makes it really hard for vaccination teams to access those areas. So, you know, there's a huge component of people being able to get the vaccine. And then there is an, concept of trust and faith in the vaccination, and partly because there have been some points in the polio campaign and in Afghanistan and in Pakistan around where vaccinators have been used for military purposes or for capturing others. So it's complex. We can't generalize, but there is probably a combination of access to service delivery and the trust in the public health system that may be influencing that. And then there might be other concerns about religious concerns, which don't necessarily exist in all populations, but in some certain minority populations or subgroups, there might be concerns around the formulation of the vaccine as well.
The polio workers in Pakistan are mainly female workers. Do you think polio awareness has a gendered aspect to it?
So, look, it depends, again, in the context that we're working in. One of the reasons why polio vaccinators are women in these contexts is because they're societies where you wouldn't necessarily allow men to go in. So, you know, women are often the primary caregivers, so they might be looking after the baby or the child when the vaccinator arrives. And when the vaccinator is a female, they can go into the house, they can have a conversation with the female. Women often get left behind from vaccination or access to services because they can't get to places again. They might be relying on somebody to transport them, or they might be looking after multiple family members. So there's an element of, again, access barriers over there.
So what public health strategies are used in such dire outbreak situations as the one that we see in Pakistan?
Yeah, so when there's an outbreak like this, like that's been reported in Pakistan and recently in other parts of the world, because we've seen COVID back in the COVID pandemic, routine immunization has been disrupted in many places. And as the travel opens up, people are commuting. So we've seen importation of poliovirus into other settings as well. Some are wild type, some are vaccine-derived polioviruses. But really what immediately happens is as soon as you find one case, that means your surveillance is working. So it's about detecting the new case. And there'll be a very strong outbreak response that will be around increasing surveillance, which means trying to identify as many cases as possible to make sure that there's no missed cases, doing contact tracing, because we know it's, again, a communicable disease. It'll spread from person to person through the fecal oral. So basically through the environment, that's how it'll spread. And when somebody touches something that's contaminated with a polio virus, the soil or stool or something, and then they don't wash their hands and, you know, they touch the surface, that's how the virus will spread. So they'll do intensive contact tracing, and then they'll also do large-scale mass vaccination campaigns. And they, in the context of polio, they call them supplementary immunization activities, which essentially are designed to close any vaccination gap. So they'll go out and do these massive large-scale vaccination campaigns in almost all of the populations where they think there might be a gap, to really immunize and vaccinate and close any gaps in vaccination. So it's a multi-pronged strategy where you try and find every new case, you increase the surveillance, and you try and vaccinate as many people, children, healthcare workers, all of those, to make sure that the disease doesn't spread any further.
Associate Professor Meru Steele from the School of Public Health at the University of Sydney, speaking there with Ms. Bar Ansari.